This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am very happy I have in the studio with me today, and I always love to have somebody in the studio with me, Steve Hopper, who has written a fascinating book, and it's called From Prison to Purpose, A Journey to Answering Life's Greatest Questions. And we're going to be asking him some questions and hearing his inspiring story and all about his business. Welcome to the studio, Steve.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Well, I saw you at a writer's event, and the minute I heard you, I said, I need to have him here in the studio to talk to my listeners, because one of the things that, you know, I have spoken to 9 Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters, and the one thing that they always tell me is that the key to their success is determination. Mm. They are, at some point in their life, something happened that just gave them that push that they needed to be determined that they were going to be a success. Mm. For Lee Child, it was the fact that he was 39 years old, and he was fired. He was fired from a job that he thought he was going to have and be very happy in until he was 65 and retire, you know, on a pension. But he was fired. Mm. And that devastated him. And he was so, so angry. Angry with the world. Angry with his former bosses who fired him in a very nasty sort of fashion. They didn't just, you know, say, oh, well, you know, we're letting you go. I mean, Right. They really just fired him. So that's why he wrote his Jack Reacher books, because why is Jack Reacher the way he is? Why does Jack Reacher come to town and just start smashing heads? Because Lee Child was in a really bad mood. I mean, he was really angry. And so he didn't want any nonsense with Jack Reacher. He didn't want any family background. He didn't want any ex-girlfriends. He didn't want any kids hanging on. He didn't want all this psychological. He just wanted to bash heads against a car. And so you can see what that did for him.
Oh, yeah.
And Mary Higgins Clark, she became a widow in her 30s, and she had children to support. And she was in a very difficult situation. And she just said, okay, I've got to do something. And so she woke up every morning at 5 o'clock. And in those days, of course, kids didn't go to school till 9 o'clock in the morning, which was nice. I think nowadays, most mothers have to be up at 5 o'clock to get their kids, which is ridiculous, because I don't think any kid is mentally capable of learning anything at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I hear you. I hear you.
I mean, I homeschooled my boys, and they were... I would not have wanted to start classes at 7 o'clock in the morning with them.
Oh, yeah. Our kids catch the bus at 7:30.
It's ridiculous. I think that's terrible. But in those days, Mary Higgins Clark had that time from 5 o'clock in the morning to 8. Mm. 3 solid hours of writing. And, of course, you see what happened with her. She sort of turned out all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now you are somebody who also had a lot of things happen in your life.
Yes.
So why don't you tell this story about your book and why you became a determined person?
Yes, well, to kind of elaborate on what you just said, we call it a pit story. So, you know, when I'm coaching people on professional speaking, et cetera, you know, most people that go out and find that success or where they find that determination usually comes from some type of pit story. You know, Eric Thomas is the number one motivational speaker in the world right now, and his pit story is that, you know, he was homeless, he was eating out of trash cans, et cetera. So for me, there's a pit story there as well. You know, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version, no pun intended. But I grew up in Tampa, Florida. I started playing football when I was 4 years old. It was what I wanted to do in my life.
And you look like a football player. He's a big hunk of a guy here.
Well, thank you. So, you know, I wasn't going to be a doctor, fireman, policeman, none of that. I was going to be a football player. And when I got into the high school years, the opportunities were there for the taking. But one night, my senior year in high school, I would make a split-second decision that would literally change the course of my life forever. Senior year in high school, 17 years old, get invited to a party down in the south part of Tampa, show up to this private beach, you know, because we live in Florida, so parties take place on beaches. And there's this big bonfire, couple hundred teenagers, partying, drinking, doing what we obviously had no business doing at 16, 17 years old. Well, we'd been at this party for a little while, and big fight breaks out. I engage in the fight, and when the smoke clears, 3 days later, some sheriff's department detectives showed up at my parents' house with a warrant for my arrest. One of the teens that I had hit during that Friday night altercation had slipped into a coma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And at that moment, everything changed. It was almost like the clock stopped ticking in my life. My father took me down, and he turned me in to the county jail. And last thing he said to me before I walked through that door was, son, you know, keep your head up. We're going to get this figured out. Well, my parents couldn't even bond me out because the judge had revoked my bond because the young man was in a coma. So they didn't know if he was going to live or if he was going to die. So my parents couldn't even get me out of jail and let me continue with school while we get this all figured out. So I sat in the county jail for 3 months waiting to find out my fate, waiting to find out if this young man was going to live or not. So I called home. My mom answered the phone one day, and she answered the phone, you know, crying and said, son, I'm so glad you called. He came out of the coma. He's going to live. So obviously it was the best news I'd ever heard in my life. But, you know, when I speak at the high schools and the middle schools, I try to impart on our youth that when you make bad choices in life, there are almost always bad consequences that come along with those choices in some form or fashion. For me, those consequences were going to be great. Media had gotten a hold of the story. It was a big deal. So it wasn't like they were in a position to just slap me on the wrist and let me go, right? So they made an example out of me. And again, making a long story short, for that split-second decision, that swing on that beach that night, they sentenced me at 17 years old to 10 years in Florida State Prison.
Wow. That was a heck of a sentence.
Yeah. And, you know, Patsy, I'll tell you that nothing in life had prepared me for the world that I was about to enter. I got sent to one of the worst prisons in the state of Florida at that time. They've since then shut that place down. The violence was daily. The gang violence was daily. They had riots almost weekly at this prison. And for the first year, I fought for my life on numerous occasions. You know, if I could express what hell on earth would be like, it was the place that I was at. And I'll fast forward you to about a year into my incarceration. It was lights out time. That steel door slammed shut on that prison cell, and there I was sitting in the pitch darkness, so dark I couldn't see a foot in front of my face. And this particular night, when that door shut, it was like the weight of the world just came crashing down on me. I felt every emotion you could imagine, feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, fear, remorse, regret, to the point that it just consumed me, and I crouched down in the corner of the cell, and I pulled my knees tight to my chest and began to cry. And for the first time in my life, the thought of suicide actually crossed my mind. Well, as I sat there in the corner of this cell, pitch darkness, contemplating suicide, in that moment, I remembered something. It was something my granddad had told me when I was a little boy. My grandparents, they owned a bunch of property in Tallahassee, North Florida, and we used to spend our summers up there, my sister and I. Well, during these summer visits, my grandfather, he was a Christian, and he would get up every morning at the breakfast table, and he would read these daily devotionals, and I'm sitting there going, here we go again, right? You know, letting it go in one ear and out the other. I was a kid. I had him on an agenda. I didn't want to hear any of that stuff. Well, one summer, my grandfather got my attention, and he said, son, just promise me one thing. I said, yeah, granddaddy, what is it? He said, just promise me that if you're ever at your darkest moment in life and your back's against the wall and you don't feel like you have any way out, drop to your knees immediately and cry out for God. And I said, okay, granddaddy, sure, whatever you say. Patsy, I hadn't thought about that again until that night in that cell. There I was, darkest moment of my life, back against the wall, no way out. And I remembered in that moment him telling me that. So I spun around on my knees and laid my face on that cold, hard, dirty concrete prison floor and cried like I never cried before in my life. And when I called out for God, in an instant, everything changed. It was the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness and fear and remorse and regret. All of that just subsided in that moment. And I had this overwhelming feeling of peace and this overwhelming feeling of purpose. So I went to bed that night and I slept like a baby for the first time in a year. And I woke up the next day and I had this new lease on life, no pun intended. But I knew that if I was going to go and fulfill whatever purpose it was that God had for my life, I needed to develop myself from the inside out. I mean, I had a 10-year sentence. It wasn't like God showed up that night in the cell and said, hey, okay, listen, I'm going to open the gates and let you out. I was 1 year into a 10-year sentence, so I had a lot of time to do, and I had to survive that place. So I kind of went into survival mode. I was already in survival mode, but I got more strategic about it. So I began to really just upload every amount of self-development material that I could get my hands on. I was reading books. I was taking classes in prison. I was doing everything I could. I was just filling my time with personal development. I had no idea that one day I would be an international motivational speaker. I had no idea that what I was going to use it for one day. I just knew that if I was going to go and do something with my life, I needed to better myself from the inside out. So I ended up doing about 7 years on that 10-year sentence. And when I got out of prison at 24 years old, reality hit. Here I was, ex-convict, no college education, 24 years old. What was I going to do with my life? I had no idea at that point. Luckily for me, I had a phenomenal family that had been extremely supportive of me throughout the entire 7 years. They were there visiting me constantly every weekend. My mother and father were there when I walked out of the gates to help me in whatever way they could to get back on my feet. But I still, at 24 years old, didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So, long story short, I had been dating a girl at the time, and her brother was a general manager for a large car company. So he said, I can get you a job. So I started working with this company and in sales, and before long, I was one of the top guys in the country. I was just excelling through the company, and before long, I took a position with the company as kind of like a national sales trainer. So I'm flying around the country, speaking, motivating, inspiring, and it was exciting, exciting times, some of the doors that were opening. So from there, it was about 2008, and this is another, you know, we talked earlier, we mentioned pit stories, you know. I went through another pit at this point. So it's 2008, life is grand, I'm well on my way, and they call me in the office over in Tampa and say, hey, listen, we're closing down some dealerships and we're going to let you go.
Oh.
So here I am. Hadn't put any money away. I was young and dumb, thinking I was rich because I was making six figures a year at a corporate job, thinking it was never going to go away. I was
just like Lee Child.
Just like Lee Child. That's right. Thinking it was, you know, set in stone, like I'm irreplaceable, right, in my mind. And reality hit, and I lost everything. I lost everything. It was a very trying time for me emotionally, financially, and I bounced back, got back on my feet, and knew that whatever this destiny was that I was going to go and accomplish, that I needed to get busy going after it.
Well, 2008 here in Florida, people, was a devastating time, and they were closing businesses left and right. So it did catch everyone by surprise. I don't think many of us were actually ready for that because it was a devastating time.
Absolutely.
So at this point, when did you decide to write your book, which is called From Prison to Purpose?
Well, it's a pretty interesting transition, and I talk a little bit about this in the book, because one of the chapters, what I do is I actually lay out kind of the blueprint, the stage of events that led me to come to realize what my purpose was. So after I lost a job in corporate America, again, I knew that if I was going to, I sent my resume out to 250 companies and I didn't even get a response back. So I knew that I needed to do something on my own. So I started a marketing company on my own. I remember getting free business cards from Vistaprint because I didn't have any money to invest in, you know, top level marketing material. So I went out and I just started networking. I went out in the community. I started shaking hands. I started loving on people. How can I help you grow your business? And it just blew up from there. So I did that for several years successfully. And I reached a point where I just felt like something was missing. I recall sitting in that cell that night thinking to myself that, you know, realizing that God did have a purpose, a big purpose for my life. And I still didn't know what it was, but I desperately desired to know why I was on this earth. I believe that we all have something that we're destined to accomplish while we're here. And I wanted to know what that was for me. So I went on a mission to try to figure it out. I began to pray about it. God began to reveal some things to me. And one of the things he revealed to me was that as I looked back at my life, every situation I had been in, there was one common factor in all of them. And it was me speaking. It was me inspiring people. I came to realize that speaking, inspiring, motivating, that was my gift. That was my gift. So even in prison, I was doing speaking events in prison. I was doing speaking events in corporate America. When I started my marketing company, I was out speaking, inspiring, training, teaching, coaching, all of those types of things. So I said, okay, I don't want to lean into my own understanding here, God. So if this is really what it is, then I want to make it crystal clear. So not long after that, I met a gentleman out networking one day. We sat down, we did coffee. He happened to own a large magazine. And he said, I want to feature your story in my magazine. So I agreed and we put my story in the magazine. And when the magazine hit the shelves, my phone, my email just went nuts. People wanting me to come speak at their company, their leadership conference, their church, their high school. It went crazy. And I found myself out there literally speaking 5 times a week. Somebody would reach out to me and say, hey, can you come speak here? And I'd go, yeah, sure, I'm there. And several months into it, my wife came to me one day and she goes, honey, she goes, I love the fact that you're out inspiring everybody and motivating everybody, but are you going to make money at this? Right. So I said, yeah, I probably need to figure that out. Right. But I was just so excited and so passionate about just going out and inspiring people that I didn't care that I wasn't making any money doing it, but she did. Yeah. Right. Okay. So I began to study the professional speaking industry, and that's when I began to structure and create Steve Hopper International. So to answer your question about the book, as I was out speaking, people just continued to come up to me going, when are you writing a book? When are you writing a book? When are you writing a book? And I'm like, I'm not an author. I'm not going to write a book. You know, I'm a speaker. I'm not an author. And I went to a seminar one day, and there was a gentleman up there talking about writing a book. And he explained writing a book in such a powerful way that it resonated with me. And he was talking about that book being a legacy product. And the way he positioned it was, imagine this. Imagine your kids, 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 having an opportunity one day after you're long gone to pick up a book and read your story and have the opportunity for your story to impact generations to come. And I was like, wow, how awesome is that?
That's a powerful message. A
very powerful message. So I began to work on my book at that point, did, you know, research like I usually do, and decided to go the self-publishing route and all that kind of stuff. And what I found when I sat down and started writing the book was I was actually a really good writer, because when it went to editing, they didn't make a lot of changes. They were like, this looks pretty good. I was like, wow, all right, cool. But since then, Patsy, the response that I've received from this book has been almost overwhelming. I mean, I get letters in the mail, I get emails just from people all over the world that are saying, your book changed my life. And to me, that is extremely powerful.
That is amazing. Well, it is a fascinating book, and we're going to talk more about it. We're going to take a quick commercial break because it's time, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more to Steve Hopper about his book and about his inspiring ideas. Okay.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I, or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
With my guest, Steve Hopper, whose book is called From Prison to Purpose, A Journey to Answering Life's Greatest Questions. And I am so happy to have you here, Steve.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, as you know, you've been talking about what led you to writing a book. Now let's talk about the actual book, because it is a very inspiring book, I think. One reads it, you know, it's... I love books that help people to understand themselves better, that open up their minds to questions about what they should be thinking about and how to handle the problems that one faces in life. Mm-hmm. And you certainly have done it in this book.
Well, thank you. It was a situation where initially I started out where I was just going to tell my story. You know, and I always have people that come up to me and they're like, oh, man, I wish you would have told more prison stories. Yeah. But, you know, I like to say that it was divinely inspired, because as I went through this book, after I got to the part where I, you know, after, you know, sharing my story and some of the things that I went through behind the fence and a little bit about what I went through outside the fence, after the fact, I was led in this direction in the book of sharing with people kind of how I came to understand what my calling was. And in doing that, my hopes was that people would be able to kind of take that application, take those steps that I went through, apply them into their own life, and realize what their gifts and talents are, what they're really passionate about, and what their message is going to be. What's going to be their legacy? What are they going to leave behind? What impact are they going to make on this world? And, you know, if nothing else, this book has just inspired a lot of people to start searching for that. You know, I think it was the late Miles Monroe that said one of the wealthiest places on earth is the cemetery, because there lies so many phenomenal ideas and dreams and inventions that never actually happened because people just took them to the grave with them. And it's such a true statement when you really think about it, because there are so many people out there right now that are going through this life and they're so caught up in the moment. They're so caught up in the day-to-day, what's right in front of them, paying the bills, getting the kids to the bus at 7:30 in the morning like we talked about earlier. You know, and they're just so focused on almost surviving this life that they're not really present in why they're in this life or what they're going to accomplish in this life. And a lot of people, I think, have taken hopes and dreams and passions and put them up on the shelf, and they're sitting there and they're collecting dust and they're focused on everything else that's going on in their life to the point where they almost forget about that they put up on the shelf. So I hope this book inspires people to take whatever that is off the shelf, dust it off, and say, I'm going after it.
Well, I think it doesn't. One of the things that I like to do is to encourage people to write whatever type of book they want. I love to talk to veterans, and I was talking to a vet, and I said, you should write a book. And he said, oh, I don't want to think about, you know, what I went through. I don't mean write a book necessarily about that. Write a book about something that gives you joy, something that exactly would be a legacy book, something that maybe a kid's book, maybe a cookbook, maybe a story about your grandfather, because these kind of memories are so important that people preserve them and share them.
That's right.
And now, of course, with, you know, I deal with a lot of writers, and they do get to that point where they actually write the book. And then the next step is what to do with it. Because even famous writers with big publishing houses, although they get published and they have this window of opportunity from a big publishing house, which usually lasts 4 to 6 weeks, that they get support from their publishing house. But after that, they are on their own. So an author has to learn a lot of what you do, of how to market, mm-hmm. and how to get out there and sell themselves, and how to speak.
Well, you know what's funny, Patsy, is that me and you are a lot alike, because I am always encouraging people to write a book. Matter of fact, most of my coaching clients, you know, one of the things that I offer through Steve Hopper International is some high-level business coaching. So I help people with their brand, you know, defining their messaging, how to market that message to the masses. And any of my coaching clients that I work with, they're all publishing books. And I'm kind of forcing them to do that. And a lot of times they'll sit down and they'll go, well, I don't know what to write about. And we're in the information age right now. So one of the big things out there right now, one of the big ways to make money is through providing information to the masses. How-tos is huge right now. So if you are, in some kind of business, let's say, what's a good example?
I'll tell you, insurance business.
Insurance.
I know an insurance man who wrote a book. He was just an insurance man, and that's how he put it. I was just an insurance man.
Right.
And then somebody, I think his wife actually said, well, you know, stop talking about all these things that you want to tell people and start writing it. And exactly. He wrote it. And the next thing he knows, although it's a self-published book and it wasn't a major book, suddenly people treated him differently.
Absolutely.
He had something to hand to clients when he went to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you meet an insurance guy, you don't expect him to hand you a book that he's written.
Exactly.
And you don't expect, and your bosses don't expect you to have a book that they can put in the waiting room. And so suddenly he said his whole life changed because he wasn't just an insurance salesman. He was now an insurance salesman expert.
That's right.
And he had the book, and he had books in the office. And then next thing, he was invited, like you do, to speak at insurance conventions, where before he used to go there and just, go try to get as much food from the free buffet as he could.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's the speaker.
Absolutely. And this is, you hit the nail on the head. One of the reasons that I do make all of my coaching clients write a book is because it is a credibility factor. Businesses and business owners and entrepreneurs are always trying to figure out how to differentiate themselves from their competition. Well, as an entrepreneur or a business owner, one of the best ways to do that is to write a book. I mean, if you're a real estate agent and you wrote a book, you're a real estate agent who wrote a book. Like, there's a level of credibility that comes with that. If you're a health coach, why wouldn't you write a book? If you're a coach, I mean, any profession, and I always tell people, they're like, oh, well, financial advisors, like, it doesn't matter what line of work you're in, writing a book brings a huge level of credibility that you don't even realize is there. It's a key as well that opens doors. You're the man that you just mentioned is, now speaking at insurance conventions because he wrote a book. If he hadn't wrote that book, he might not be speaking at those insurance conventions. So it's a key that unlocks a lot of doors. So I am hooked on writing books. I'm actually working on book number 2 and book number 3 right now. And I've probably got 5 book ideas laid out on my whiteboard right now at my office that will come in time. So I'm going to be a book writing junkie because I believe that, now I'm on a mission. Okay, now I got a book. Now I want to be that guy that wrote 20 books,
Well, and it is fun. I mean, you have this wonderful satisfaction of knowing that somebody might read your book and be inspired, might read your book and find an answer to some question that they sort of been going around in their head and they didn't know what to do. And so it's just such a valuable tool. And when you have people who've written books, the next step, of course, is that they have to get out there.
That's right.
And one of the things that now you recently had a Facebook event.
Can you talk
to us a little bit? Facebook is in the news. But for all of the problems that they have, the fact is Facebook is there to stay.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
From the business point of view, it is such a valuable and important way to communicate.
Right.
So what should writers know about Facebook? What should they know how to promote themselves on Facebook?
Well, first I'll give everybody a little bit of the backstory as to why we even did a Facebook seminar. As an international speaker, I have always used networking as a way to grow my business. So I'm always out in the community, attending networking events, shaking hands, meeting people, developing those relationships and partnerships, etc. So as I was out in the market years ago, and this even goes back to when I had my marketing company, I realized that as I was out networking my business and marketing my business, I realized that a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners did not know how to properly network their business, market their business, etc. So what I started to do was I started to do some little small lunch and learn type workshops. I started to do, then it progressed into 2-3 hour workshops. And what I was doing was I was just taking subjects that when it came to growing your business and marketing, etc., and teaching that to these small business owners and entrepreneurs. From that, it has progressed to such a level where we're doing these huge 1-day seminars, 2-day seminars, 3-day seminars. So we're always attacking subjects and teaching on things that people need to know about that are in business. So recently, what you were talking about is a Facebook seminar that we did. So we did a full-day Facebook seminar. I brought in some experts, some social media experts that day, and we taught anybody that showed up, you know, most of them were small business owners, entrepreneurs, salespeople, et cetera, how to use social media to get their messaging out there. So Facebook is huge. It is a train that's it's too big of a train. It's never going to stop. They'll make some adjustments along the way, and us as business owners and professionals will make adjustments to go with them. But it's so powerful because putting something on Facebook has the opportunity for literally thousands of eyes to see it. So what I always tell entrepreneurs is just get out there on Facebook. Right now, video is huge. It's where it's at. It's where it's at. And there was a statistic recently that by 2019, which we're getting close, like this year's flying
by,
right?
Isn't it? It's amazing.
By 2019, video will make up 80% of all web traffic. So it's progressing in that way. Video is a real big deal. And Facebook specifically, I'm going to touch on Facebook because I still believe Facebook is the one. Everybody else has popped up. You know, Instagram's very powerful with the younger folks. But Facebook is still the one. It's still the big daddy. It's still got more features than anybody else out there. And you can do more with it than you can do with any other platform. So Facebook makes it so easy for us to get out there. I mean, with a click of a button on our Facebook page, we can go live on video. And we can share whatever message, we can part whatever wisdom we want to impart. We can inspire, we can talk about all sorts of stuff. And using that as a tool to draw attention to yourself, to attract people to you. If you can get out there and provide value to the masses, this is not about getting on and pitching your book. It's not about constantly selling. It's about getting out there and providing value. And when people start to follow you because you're providing them value, they're going to buy whatever it is that you're putting out there, you know? So Facebook is huge. And anybody that's listening to this right now, if you're not utilizing social media to your advantage to get your book out there or to get your message out there or to promote your business, then you need to go ahead and do it. You know, I think about Blockbuster Video. Those guys are no longer around because they failed to evolve. And if you're not using social media right now in your business, then you're failing to evolve. And it's going to hurt you in the long run.
So when we're talking about writers with mm-hmm. books, what type of content is of interest? You know, you say have interesting content. What do they need to put on? What kind of things?
Well, you know, again, one of the things that's very powerful is how to these days. So it's not so much about the content of your book. It's the fact that you wrote a book. And so many people out there right now have thought about writing a book. They've desired to write a book. They got a book. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I've had this book bounce around in my head for 12 years, right?
I love people who come to me and say, well, I just read this book. I could have done it so much better.
right. So if you have a book, guess what? You are way further along than all the people out there that don't have a book. That makes you an expert because you've gone through the editing process. You've gone through the writing process. You've gone through the what do I call this book process. You've gone through the publishing process. And you've even gone through some of the marketing process probably. So you have a plethora of knowledge just because you've experienced it. And it's a level of knowledge that the masses doesn't have. So think about this. If you were to just jump on social media and just talk about some of the basics, like one of the things that I could talk about, for instance, and just so that you know, I'm already headed in this direction. We are working on shooting a course right now that will be available online where it's me on video and I'm teaching people how to write a book. And I'm giving them my book writing template. I'm giving them a blueprint. I mean, we're doing all sorts of cool stuff. So again, it's a how-to because I know that that's a powerful thing. So if you can get on social media and you can just start to educate, hey, everybody, I want to shoot a quick video today, because a lot of people have been asking me lately, as a published author, how do you get started? Well, today I want to talk to you about the very first thing that I did to get started on the path to write my book. And that first thing is this. Here's why I did it, here's how I did it, and here's how you should do it. Hope this was informational for you. God bless you. We'll see you guys on the next video. All of a sudden, your audience is sitting there going, wow, I would have never started there. I didn't know that was the first thing I needed to do. Wow, this person's really smart. I should listen to them. I should follow them. And then you jump in there again, you know, in a few days, and you give them another tip. Hey, everybody, you know, 3 days ago, I talked about this. Well, I want to tell you what step two was for me. And here's how step two happened. So you can literally just educate people on how to do it themselves by telling them how you did it. And all of a sudden, people are sitting back going, oh my gosh, this person is so amazing. They're so smart. And they've given me so much value. Do you think that if you're providing them value, that they're going to go check out your book? Absolutely. They're going to go buy your book just because now they feel indebted to you. You've given them this information. You've educated them. You've done it for free. And, you know, it's the law of reciprocity. You know, we want to give to people that give to us, we want to give to them. So now they're buying your book because they want to give back to you because you gave to them. Not because you're pitching them on your book, not because you're selling them on your book, because you're inspiring them. And when people are inspired, they take action and they feel much better about buying something than they do when they've been sold.
Excellent advice. Absolutely. Okay, well, now, as you said, that seminar, your Facebook seminar, was recently finished, but you have a new seminar coming up. What is that called?
Yes, we have a huge seminar that is absolutely life-changing. It's called the $100,000 Handshake, and it's actually a two-day seminar. And it's such a powerful seminar. We're even contemplating in the future extending it to make it a three-day seminar. What it initially started out as was a business seminar to teach business professionals and entrepreneurs how to get out and network their products and services in their local community. So I come in and I teach everything from how to find the right networking venues to how to approach the right people at networking events, how to transition those relationships from the handshake into, okay, me and this person are now doing business with each other, or we are referring business to each other. Everything and anything that you can think of regarding networking and how to do it the right way is included in this two-day seminar. But what happened when we did the first one was something pretty powerful. I got up that morning, I shared my story, and then one of the first questions that I asked at the seminar to the audience was, what do you think it is that's holding you back right now from going after everything that is that you want? And we started to pass the microphone around the room. And what happened was just unbelievable. People began to lay all their cards out on the table. I mean, people began to reveal things that most people don't reveal in a seminar setting. And I found myself walking these people through these things that were holding them back in their lives. And at the end of the seminar, people walked away going, this changed my life forever. And my team came to me and they're like, Steve, like, you have got something like extremely powerful in your hands with this event. And I said, yeah, we do. So we continue to grow that. So we do the $100,000 Handshake quarterly. It's a big deal. People come in from all over the country for this event.
Where is it going to be held?
We're holding it here in Tampa. We hold it at the Residence Inn. All the information on the event can be found at 100khandshake.com. They can find out the details, the information. The next one is on June 8th and June 9th. And
so like that's I said, coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, it's just a little bit over a month away. And like I said, it's hard to put into words how powerful of an event this one is. So we always get excited about the $100,000 handshake.
Well, it sounds exciting. And so it's how many days did you say?
2 days.
2 days.
So it's a Friday and a Saturday.
So they come in the morning and you have a full day's program.
Mm-hmm. And the location where we're at, the Residence Inn, we do a lunch break. There's several restaurants within walking distance. So we go from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock on both days. Several breaks throughout the day. So there's plenty of networking opportunities, which is always one of the big pluses of our seminars, is, you know, people make contacts at our seminars that are contacts they'll have the rest of their lives. Very powerful.
Okay. And of course, you also have a couple of websites. If they want your books, they can find them at Steve Hopper.
Yeah, we'll keep it simple we'll for everybody. Yeah,
which is the best site?
I like Steve. It. Yeah, Steve Hopper International.
I like that site. It's .com. A great site.
Well, thank you.
It's smart, and it's I've been sort of moseying around there, and very very well done, and it's got some samples of some of your work, and I think that anybody who really wants to be inspired, boy, Steve, you do it.
You've
done a great job here. And it is so important that people realize that even when something terrible happens in your life, and something certainly terrible happened in your life, you can overcome it. You can turn it into something positive. And you certainly have done that.
Yes. Well, thank you.
And, you know, we have a moment here to talk because I do want, you know, I know one of the things that you do go out and inspire, you know, give speeches to people and to young people about being careful in life and not to get involved. You know, we have all the spring break people coming and we have the summer people coming, and it's just, you have to be careful out there. You have to think of what the consequences.
Yeah, you've got to stop. You got to stop, you got to slow down, you got to think, you know, and this is in all aspects of life. I mean, in marriage, you know, we got to slow down sometimes before we open our mouth, don't we? Yeah, you know, so you've got to think things through a little bit. And, you know, for teenagers, it's hard. You know, they're caught up in the moment. They're flying by the seat of their pants. They're trying to fit in. There's so many factors around them. And now with social media and they have access to things that we didn't have access to. They see things and hear things that we didn't have access to. And one of the issues with that is I think they become numb to it to a certain extent. They become numb to some of the stuff that they see. So they're going through life, and they do. They need to slow down a little bit. They need to think things through. They need to think ahead. What is it that you want to do in this life? What do you want to accomplish? What kind of person do you want to be? You know, one of the most powerful assets that we all have, one of the most powerful abilities that we all have, is the ability to influence other people. And we have a choice every day. Do I influence people in a positive way, or do I influence people in a negative way? Have you ever noticed that people will mimic your attitude? In other words, if you're sitting down with somebody, if I came in and I sat down with you and I started talking about how crazy the traffic was getting over here, you're going to go, I know, it's horrible out here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people will mimic your attitude. But if I come in and I sit down and I say, hey, listen, the traffic was okay, and you should have seen the weather out there, the palm trees, as I was driving over the bridge to get here. I just love the smell of that ocean air. You're going to go, oh, yes, that's what I love about Florida, right? So we have the power every day to influence people, and we're making a decision in every situation how we're going to influence people. So if we have a focus of going out and influencing people every day in a positive way, then we're going to become that person that people want to be around, right? We're going to build a following. We're going to build a huge network, and we're going to impact people's lives in a positive way every single day. So it's all about just our ability to influence and what kind of attitude that we're taking throughout our daily activities.
Well, I am so happy that you came into this studio
today. Thank you for having me.
You have this wonderful attitude, and I know that my listeners have been inspired today by your words, and I hope they go out and get your book and also look at your website, which is stevehopperinternational.com. Go there, and why not sign up for this seminar? Because it sounds really fascinating. Yes. I think it's going to be lots of fun.
Life-changing.
Life-changing. And that's one of the important things, that we want to change our lives for the better, and so that we can do more for other people too.
That's right.
Yeah. And next week, I just want to remind everyone, next week I'm going to be talking to Jeffrey Deaver. And, you know, I love talking to famous authors. I love talking to all authors. And every once in a while, I come across a book that it's sort of, I sit back and I say, wow. And the new book by Jeffrey Deaver is something, of course, everyone knows that he writes mystery stories, crime stories. But in this new book, he stepped over the edge, and he's actually writing literature. And it's really thrilling. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. But meanwhile, remember what I always tell you, that, you know, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper and to hear them in an audible version, because everybody loves audible books now. I don't know. You don't have audible. You have an audible version?
No, I am. It's on the radar.
It's on the radar.
I've got all the equipment to do it. I just need to sit down and do it.
I was going
to
say, in your case, you have to do it yourself, because people will want to hear this voice. You have,
yes.
You have the voice.
Oh,
and
thank you.
So you have to. You know, some authors, most authors can't do their own book, and they shouldn't do their own book. But there are authors who absolutely have to, because, one, it's a very personal book.
Sure.
And you have the right voice for it. So it will make a great audible book. And actually, probably an award-winning book, because audible books that are done by the author often win the award. So, and with your voice, I have a feeling you might win one of those Audi awards. So,
well, how about that? I better get started then. You've inspired me today. How about that?
Good, because I think it would be great. It would be really wonderful. And
well, thank you.
Meanwhile, again, thank you so much, Steve Hopper, for being here today to talk about your book and to inspire my listeners. And as I always say, say something nice to somebody today, because, as Steve says, be inspiring, and that's a wonderful thing. And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room, because he is always so good for me. And he saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been in the Marines, because I love Marines anyway, and it would have been fun. Anyway, thank you again, Steve, for being a great guest today.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.